What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of the Prodigal Sons podcast. The snow is falling, the temperature is dropping, and the Prodigal Sons are on the air tonight. Man, I have missed you guys. We've been looking forward to getting together.
Yes.
Last week was a little upsetting because we really, really wanted to get on the air, and the producer said, no bueno. Actually, she said, I'll make it, but I'll probably puke the whole way. And we said, let's just skip. So we're back on the air. Fly.
If you're going to do it the right way.
I like the Terry Bradshaw way.
Fly!
No, that wasn't Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, but Terry gave him the wrong note to start off with. He's like,
oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, he's like, Jalen, here's your starting note.
I'm a little offended that he even needed a note to begin with.
He literally took the mic away from him at the very end.
That was awful. So there's that. What's up, Sean Conroy?
Hello, Betty.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Book of Eli?
Oh!
What's going on, everybody?
Oh, Book of
Happy
Eli.
Happy to be back.
Mr. Tom Rivera?
It is awesome to be back, man. I'm excited for tonight's show.
Me too. We got so much to stick in, like, 1 hour. I don't know if we're going to get it done. What's up, Lisa?
I'm trying to share the show.
Lisa, your mic's not... Your mic...
She waved.
She's throwing stuff.
It's not even, the mic's not even near her.
No. She's like, I unhooked it like 6 weeks ago. So a lot to get into. Mr. Tom, you wanted to start off with the Eagles and the Chiefs and stuff?
Well, I felt that AFC Championship game, there was a little shadiness going on there with the calls.
AFC,
not NFC, okay. AFC.
In the
AFC.
Eagles game, there was like 76 flags. What are you talking about, the AFC game?
76 is a good number.
The NFC was fine. Everything was called perfectly. Even the missed drop that we had, that they counted it for, you know. We were able to hike the ball again before they could notice it, so kudos to the Eagles.
I like the game plan. I mean, everybody in the world hates Nick Sirianni except for Eagles fans. I think he was the God made Nick Sirianni for Philadelphia.
I wasn't aware that everybody hated him. Is that true?
Hey, I love the guy.
Yeah, him. I got it. Really? Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know.
Can we get a why on that?
Because he coaches for the Eagles.
Oh.
He
How's your beloved
represents Philadelphia?
Pets do.
I'm not worried about them.
Oh, okay.
How many rings do the Eagles have?
Oh, here we go with the rings.
So go ahead.
Wow, you sound like a Dallas fan.
At least ours are more recent than Dallas. So
here we go.
He's a troll. He's a troll. He screams at the officials, curses at them on TV.
Who?
Nick Sirianni.
Every coach does.
Listen, since you brought up Dallas, I just want to
goes for two up by 28,
which I saw on Facebook and I thought it was hilarious. I was going to read it last week, but we weren't here. Jalen Hurts was born on August 7th, 1998.
What up, Shane? I mean,
baby Hurts grew up. Learned how to play football,
baby Hurts.
Went to college, squatted 600 pounds, graduated, got drafted by the Eagles, and made it to the NFC Championship game before Dallas went back.
Baby Hurts. I'm stuck at baby
Hurts. I don't think you're going to get anybody up on this particular panel that's going to defend Dallas.
No.
No.
So that's, no,
but,
that's
but, fine. But Sean brought him up. He said at least we're more current than Dallas. And
well, yeah, I don't think Dallas fans have any reason to talk at all.
No, they still do, though.
Conversation. Of course they do.
They do.
I got to say, the Eagles did something right. I don't know if they paid off the right person or whatever.
Wow.
But they got the Giants, who are barely a 500 franchise.
Here we go.
No. I got this.
And then they take San Fran, and they're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Third string quarterback, Tommy John surgery.
Demolish both teams. Go ahead.
Take him out. Josh Johnson, who had played like for 17 teams, and they just called him up last week and was like, hey, we need a backup quarterback. He's in the game. He gets knocked out. They got Christian McCaffrey on one leg trying to do some wildcat. I'm just saying that all I'm saying is you could not have scripted a better, easier road to the
easier.
I had this conversation with somebody else earlier today. You say easier.
Tom's mad.
Guess how many people are in the Eagles box every time on defense? How many people do we have on the line?
Four.
Four. And we were breaking sack records.
Yeah.
We were eating quarterbacks like fruit snacks, and you say easy when you're the best You're supposed to play the worst in the playoffs.
Right. Can you mind if I finish the sentence?
No, I don't want you to finish because
we're you could not have scripted an easier path in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. That being said, I think we're actually in for a really good game because I think they're going to get to go up against somebody this time.
No, because they're going to say, oh, Mahomes is on one
leg. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, brotherly love, brother against brother.
Listen, Travis, you're supposed to have your backup ready for a game in case something happens.
Yeah,
what's
supposed
to
have Willie Beeman on the side.
What's the over-under on Andy Reid making it to the Super Bowl? I feel like that dude was supposed to be dead like 10 years ago. I think what happens is
you're saying
it's Patrick Mahomes. People are going to say he's on one leg, whatever. I think here's the story. Andy Reid's going to fly into Philly a couple days early, try to get the players used to they're going to Arizona, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to fly down there. He's going to DoorDash some Chick-fil-A or something. Massive coronary, and you guys didn't have a coach.
Oh, he's going to do the Jordan thing. You heard about that,
Jordan, right? Flu game?
Yeah. Dominoes? You don't know what happened?
The Domino's or something?
Yeah, he ate a whole pizza by himself. Nobody else ate anything, but he had food poisoning the next day. Yeah. They say flu, but it was like food poisoning.
I watched the documentary.
Listen, you are right, though. The game is going to be epic. You got Eagles versus the Chiefs. You got...
And Andy Reid is gone. That's actually the Kool-Aid man on the sideline.
I love Andy Reid. You guys love him.
You have Philly
too.
Versus Andy, and you have Kelsey versus Kelsey.
It's a great. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Line. If Elijah comes over to the house to watch the game, though, it's going to be the most boring game you've ever seen in your entire life.
I told my wife, I said, "Listen, sweetheart, I'm going to start packing up Resource Day early."
Elijah came over to watch the Giants Eagles game and then the 49ers Eagles game. They were the worst games I've ever seen in my life. I thought about stopping watching football forever. They were just terrible. Terrible games.
I could see why you say that. I hear so.
No, I'm not saying the Eagles aren't good. They're really good, but the
best team in the NFL.
The teams they were playing were putrid, and then the style of play in those two games was like flag.
Well,
timeout, flag, one quick play, flag.
Let me ask you a question. Flags aside.
Sorry.
The missed ball that got called a touchdown. We still would have won, number one.
Yeah,
number definitely. Two, everybody is saying, they didn't have a quarterback. They this, that. Well, what do you expect us to do? Say, hey, we're going to sit our quarterback down, too, to make it even.
No, I'm just saying it was – listen, when the Jets probably would have been favored in both those games, you didn't play anybody. That's all I'm saying. The Jets could have beat the Giants, and the Jets could have beat the 49ers with no quarterback.
Could've. The Jets couldn't have beat the 49ers.
Not by that level.
Not if Purdy was healthy.
He wasn't healthy.
When they played.
When the Eagles played the 49ers.
No, I said the Jets.
Listen, injuries are part of the game. You can't...
I didn't say they could beat him with a quarterback. I said they could beat him without a quarterback. If you knew that there was running back going to take the snap and try to run through the line every single time, the Jets could have stopped that.
Yes. Hassan Reddick, let's go.
Zach Wilson and – why am I blanking on your quarterback?
Mac Jones.
Zach Wilson, Mac Jones as edge rushers could have stopped the 49ers last week.
Edge rushers.
Jeez, you guys are such Phillies or Eagles fans. Listen.
So who are you rooting for?
The grease on the poles and the horse poop. That's what I'm rooting for.
All right, so Eagles. And who are you rooting?
No, I'm just rooting for the horse poop.
Well,
I want it to win.
You want them to win?
I want the horse poop to win.
So,
a little Tabasco sauce. I mean,
I don't want to tip my hand who I'm rooting for, but he's a bath bomb guy.
takes a jazz bath
and he doesn't wash his practice shirt. I can't change.
Sorry,
now
looks like a Muppet, huh?
I can't change now. I wish you the best, and I tell you, 5 years ago when y'all won that Super Bowl, I was cheering for you, and I thought that was one of the best games
you told me
that
you told me in church, might I add, on a Sunday.
Amen brother.
All right. When I said, who are you rooting for, Eagles or Giants? You're like, well, I got to root for the Giants. And I'm like, you know what? I get that. I get that because it's New York.
Yeah.
So I get it. You go, but if the Giants lose, I'm rooting for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened from then, two weeks ago, till now?
Satan.
They played. He rooted for them last week.
He didn't say he was rooting him for the rest of the season. He just said he was rooting for him. He rooted for him against the 49ers, an 18th string quarterback.
Yeah,
I did. No. Your words were you're rooting for them to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so I lied.
Okay.
No, you know, I didn't lie. At the moment, I believed it. And then I just went home and I prayed about it. And
Jackie, how are you?
The Holy Spirit told me I could not. I couldn't do it.
Listen, we had a talk. Dave and I had a talk. And this is what we came down to. I think we are in agreement, partially. When the Eagles won the last one, the last big game,
I rooted for them the whole way.
That whole season was just. It was just magical. It was underdog. It was next man up. It was a lot of praying and a lot of camaraderie and a lot of togetherness.
Carson Wentz went down and Nick Foles came up.
Right, and all of that. So it was something magical and special. This team right here,
Evil
is
Empire.
Just like, yo,
Evil Empire.
We're here to do business.
We might never see a team like this again.
We might not.
They're
we
the
might
Evil
not.
Empire.
We
I,
might not.
What, you, what? Evil Empire?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't care. I'll take it.
It's dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun.
He's Tom's taking offense to the evil part.
Jacqueline, message me. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Because the evil empire is the dominating force. That's why it's evil.
But we're not on the dark side, so stop it.
I mean, Jalen Hurts isn't, but I'm pretty sure everybody else.
Wow.
Ask Lisa. Every time I watch a game, if I have no rooting interest, I'm always rooting for the underdog. Even if I start out saying I'm rooting for the favorite, by the first quarter,
so who do you think the underdog is in this game?
Mahomie.
Mahomie.
I love that. I'm not even. I can't. I'm not gonna get mad at that. That was perfect. that was perfect.
All right.
Such a dad thing.
I gotta ask. So, Sean, who are you rooting for?
I don't root for anybody if my team's not playing. So my prediction is KC 31-24 over the Eagles.
Look, he said, I don't root it. I'm not rooting for anybody.
So usually,
he's going to be home like, oh.
I'll be at work, so I don't care what I'm
so usually when you make a usually when you make a prediction, you'd like to be right about that, right?
Yeah, I'm just guessing. I have no idea. I don't have a dog in the fight, so I don't care.
Yeah.
That's my honest opinion of how I think I think it's gonna be a good game. I think Casey's gonna get a touchdown in like the last minute of the game to win. Wow, that was terrible.
Wow.
Good thing that the people listening to this can't see that.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Were you trying to hit him?
I was trying to go over.
You don't have to go much over.
There was only two ways that was going to go. Either it was going to go like it did, or Tom was going to get pelted in the face.
I think he was supposed to have his hands like, I think his hands went like this. Try and catch it from
back. Real quick, before we go off the Eagles, I do have to say one quick thing to pat your team on the back. Who is the guy, Smith?
Devontae Smith.
Mm-hmm. Awesome play by him. The one where one hand catch, whatever, everybody thought, and he.
Here we go. I already talked about that.
He gave the. I think every team.
He put his hand up.
Every team should have a signal. Every team should. Yes. No, forget that. Like,
No, he's talking about the scramble. He's talking about the
No,
scramble.
He knows. Yeah. I think he knows. No, I'm talking about.
You're talking about when the quarterback's in trouble and everybody scrambles?
No.
All right, I'm wrong. Go.
No, Tom knows what I'm talking about. The one-handed catch that wasn't, you know, on replay, that he definitely didn't catch it.
Didn't catch it.
But I think every team should have a signal for when the ball didn't get caught or whatever. The receiver gives the quarterback a signal.
He did give the signal.
He did. Yeah. No, I'm saying good job because but every team should have that signal to, like, hurry up and snap the ball.
That's right, because you said
it was fourth down.
You were like, it should be cheesesteak if it's Philly. Like, cheesesteak.
I think we should have one for the show. If we're in trouble, we just yell out a word.
We do.
What is it?
Popcorn.
Yeah, that is true. That is the one you yell.
Yeah, but that has a double meaning. It's not like it's like popcorn, and then you got to think.
Yeah, then everybody.
Oh, it must be the other one. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wrong popcorn. It is,
yeah. I think maybe Red Bull. Red Bull.
Red Bull. Pineapples.
RB. What did you want to know about the Buffalo Bills?
So when I spoke with you and you said, well, I got to go to the Giants because they're a New York team. Will Buffalo be your next?
No. I'm
sorry.
Lisa, can you just take them out?
Can we just make two shows?
Yeah, because this is what happens.
Sean and Elijah don't see each other, and then they start playing in the sandbox.
This stems from pineapple.
And one of them toots or something, and then they start laughing.
Pineapple. All he said was pineapple.
I think the other one tooted. And then he's like, oh, I tooted. Oh,
so, God. Buffalo, because they're
okay. Buffalo, if you look at a map, Buffalo is nearly Cleveland. So, no, I don't root for the Buffalo Bills. And, in fact, I just said the other day, I am so stinking tired of the Buffalo Bills. Like, I never minded them, even in their, as a division rival. I never minded Buffalo because they were always clean-cut, well-coached, well, you know, whatever. I am so tired of people talking about Buffalo and how this is the year they're going to go to the Super Bowl. You know what? They went there four times in a row. They couldn't win one. The last 4 or 5 years, they should have been, except for this, except for that, except that we get 13 seconds left in a game and we – I can't say it. We pooped the bed.
There you go.
There
you know, I'm so tired of, except for this, except for that, we should be in the – you know what? Get there, okay?
Just do it already.
Just like the Jets, Aaron Rodgers next year.
Before we get off of football –
You think he's going to go?
I hope so. I hope we get Aaron Rodgers and Bakhtiari in there.
Yeah, before we go, when the Eagles played the Giants, and you know how we have a Jets fan sitting up here, dude, he had a piece of tape over Jets – and he put Giants on it.
I had a Jets hoodie and I put Giants on it.
And when they were getting robbed, he was like,
he ripped the tape right off. Well, that was nice while it lasted.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Holy smokes.
So I got one more question before we get off the Eagles.
Yes.
It's not because you hate them, it's because you want to root for the underdog. Because you're not really – you're kind of playing both sides of the fence right now, and I'm trying to get a read on it.
Well, those aren't both sides of the fence. It's underdog, overdog, both sides of the fence. No, they're very hateable. They got a very, very punchable face.
So it's the hateable and the underdog thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's both.
Two-point underdog.
They started
as a favorite.
Do you only love your wife for one reason? No, there's several reasons, right? You don't love your wife for one thing. You love her because of all that she is. And I hate the Eagles for all that they are.
Somebody's trying to get brownie points. Come on, let's change the subject.
5 years ago, I rooted for them. They were a good story, clean cut. Now the coach is screaming at officials and cussing them out on TV. And they're.
Yeah. You're just like an official. You're just like a referee, Dave.
Why?
Because you only see the bad stuff. You don't see the starter. You only see the finisher.
Makes for good radio.
Whatever, Bubba.
They got a very punchable face.
Okay.
And
I believe you agree a little bit on the punchable face.
Oh, I'd love to punch every Eagles fan in the face.
Okay, thank you, Sean, for saying that. It's not necessarily the Eagles.
The fans. It's not all the fans. It's 99.6% of them.
I just explained this to Lisa the other day. And you guys, by the way, Elijah, Tom, excluded, at least in my view, excluded from those people.
Yeah, I'll exclude you guys from that.
You guys watched the Eagles last year. You watched them the year before. You watch them when they win. You watch them when they lose. I get that. I appreciate that. I was just saying, Lisa asked me the other day why I couldn't root. The Eagles fans, people that I haven't seen wear stuff ever, are wearing stuff. People with never had anything on their car. Now they got stuff on their car. They're going, "Fly, Eagles, fly." You know, I really like that guy who throws the ball to that other guy.
Isn't that McNabb?
Yeah, I really like the McNabb and Foles guy. You know, that's I
will agree with you because this time of year, although I want some of the new Eagles merch, I look for people with new stuff versus stuff like this that's weathered. The string is missing. The Eagles is fading.
Yeah.
That's how you know you've had it for a while, and that's how you can spot the phonies.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And they're very
uninformed.
And then you have the ones that are over-aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the Jets, the Giants, not the Patriots, they're terrible. They're fans. Actually, no, the Patriots fans aren't bad. Red Sox fans are bad.
Red Sox fans are the worst in any sport, I think.
But when you have to feel fear for your life, or you couldn't bring your kid to the game with wearing the other jersey.
Oh, you're wearing beer, pizza.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Vomit. You can't do that. If I couldn't bring a 10-year-old to the game thinking that they're not going to get puked on, but like that's bad.
I went to a Phillies Yankees game and some Yankees fan was throwing popcorn and peanuts at me.
That was me.
Oh, okay.
That's terrible.
I still let you get in the car on the way home. Well, actually, if the Phillies had won, you probably couldn't. I would have had to hitch a ride. But no, you guys are good. Like if somebody wore the opposing jersey in the stadium and you were there, you'd be nice to them. You wouldn't puke on them, and you'd know who your own players are. So You guys are good fans. Tell the rest of them to get in line.
All right, we'll do.
During the games this weekend, let's talk about the
Eagles. Games are so boring.
They're so bad. I mean, during the season, they were fine. I'm just saying the last two were just awful. So who's excited for the TV show, Farmer Wants a Wife?
I never even heard of it.
What the heck is that?
Wait, what is that? You know what it is?
Yes, I do.
So there's a TV show. It's a dating show, I guess. One of these bachelor-type shows. And it's about a farmer who wants a wife. And so they're so creative that they named the show Farmer Wants a Wife. And my grandfather owned a farm, and I went there several times as a child. We visited a few times a year, and it didn't look like this farm. The farm from Farmer Wants a Wife looks like, some country club. And anyway, I think we should start watching that show as a group, and we should start commenting on it every week. What do you think?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't waste my time.
All right, here's the question. If we're going to do a review of a show or a movie,
we all do have to watch it.
I think we should pick right now. Do we want to review and commentate on Farmer Wants a Wife, or do we want to watch and review Cocaine Bear?
I never heard of that one either.
What the heck is that? What is that?
Elijah and I were watching the game the other day, and this commercial comes on for Cocaine Bear.
You don't watch much TV?
No,
I don't either.
And we both looked at each other, and Elijah had this look on his face like, we're going to talk about this on Tuesday.
What's it called?
It's
Cocaine Bear.
It's supposed to be based on
a true story.
On some true facts. What happened was a cartel ship.
Airplane.
Dropped a package of cocaine.
I guess they were going down or about to get seized or something. They start chucking it over the forest.
Whatever the case may be, but a bear got into it and was...
Just goes crazy. And the CGI on this movie looks amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It looks like it's supposed to be a comedy, but it's not. Like the CGI bear just like shoots out of the woods with cocaine all over its face.
It's crazy,
people.
Dude. It's,
I just figured it was like a spinoff from like Miami Vice. It was like Huggy Bear's like origin story or something.
I think as a group we need to watch this movie.
That sounds awful.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Can we review all 18 Sharknados as well while we're at it?
But I could be wrong.
Look, he's up for that.
Oh, he's in.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Cocaine Bear is supposed to be a serious movie. But we have to, we just have to mystery
science. It's based on a true story.
It is. It's based on a true story. True. So apparently,
It's not a show, it's a movie.
It's a movie. Yeah.
Then Dave looked at it, he said, wait a minute. Somebody actually read this.
Yeah.
Somebody actually said, I like it. Somebody actually opened up their checkbook and said, here's money to make it. And they actually put a commercial off.
Listen, I just want to meet the guy who trained the bear to pretend it was high on cocaine. That's what I want. I want to meet that guy.
It's probably like Rob Gronkowski.
Shake his nub, because you know he doesn't have any hands.
It's probably Rob Gronkowski, because we don't know where he's been the last.
Actually,
he's all over TV.
The bear is just Gronkowski with like a rug thrown over his back.
It's like he went and found the Chewbacca outfit from the original Star Wars. He's like, this will work.
He's just running around the woods, and they're like, what is this? Is that Bigfoot or a coked-out bear? Huh, let's make a movie about it.
Tom, how's the laptop going?
Is that the new one?
It doesn't look as new as I thought it was going to look.
So, I haven't even started up my new laptop yet.
When did you get the laptop?
I don't really know what you want me to talk about about this.
Well, when did you buy the laptop?
Got it about 6 months ago.
You didn't open it yet.
No, I opened it from the box.
You charged it?
Still has the little cellophane screen protector on
it. I charged it.
You turned it on?
No.
Needs to be charged again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dead again.
Yeah, I haven't charged it yet.
Yeah, the warranty's void.
And it's funny because my wife, Claire, keeps asking me, can I just have it?
Why don't you just give it to her?
And I always say, no, I'm gonna set it up because this one's about to go.
Well, you know what? You should probably get the other one going so you can make sure everything that's on there, you can get on the other one.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It sounds hard.
Whenever I upgrade a phone or something, if it's like on its way out, I might order the new one, and then it just sits there in the box, and I'm like, I don't feel like getting all that. But it usually only lasts about a week.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 6 months is probably...
See, the interesting thing is that this thing completely went, so I bought it, and then this thing came back.
Oh, so it was...
Was it down for 3 days?
Damn it.
What did he say?
Was it down for 3 days?
No, it was...
Did it stop on a Friday?
It was down for like a day, so I went out and bought a new one.
Was that a Friday?
And I needed it.
Was it a good Friday?
Came back up on Sunday?
I don't remember the exact date.
I believe it was a miracle.
I believe so.
Was it a stone on top of it?
Was it sealed away?
When it came back, was it in front of you or Mary
office? Did you have to talk to some Roman guards to get it access to it?
So actually what happened...
Was it anywhere near a burning bush?
What happened was, the only thing that really happens, because I have these Zoom meetings twice a week, and the video on the Zoom wasn't working, so I got a new laptop so I can... have the video on the Zoom work, and then the video on the Zoom started working.
Did you miss everything we just said?
Yes.
You did? Like,
Zoom. Yes. I'm not sure if... I thought he was just intentionally ignoring
it. I was.
Okay, yeah. He didn't miss it. He caught it.
Did you catch it?
I caught it.
He caught it. Then he had, Red Bull.
You picked up what we were laying down?
I don't think
you did. You smell what the rock was cooking?
I smell what the rock was cooking.
I don't think he did either.
I think he's just trying to...
I don't think he did.
The dying to come back.
Yeah, he got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
just want to make sure
it was subtle. I didn't know. Yeah. It was pretty subtle.
You guys really went off on it though. I gotta be honest.
You kind of got in that got in the groove and just went with it.
Yeah, you just went with it. So I didn't really have any time to kind of.
Yeah, we weren't trying to give you any.
I just wanted to explain myself. I mean, if you're gonna bring it up, I want to explain myself.
We want you to explain how your new laptop is working.
Are we doing a show next week?
Yeah,
we are. We're doing a show next week.
Don't say you're gonna have the laptop because you couldn't show up. Like,
because.
Don't say you're bringing it, because if you don't, that's going to be the whole show.
We have to do a show next week.
I'm bringing my laptop next week, and it's going to be set up. He have it here on the Prodigal Sons, January 22nd.
He's going to be in here at 6:30.
He's going to be trying to transfer.
At 5 o'clock, he's going to be in here before we get here, like trying to set up, like, oh, it's not working. I can't get that.
He's going to put that one on top of the new one and be like, look, it works. He's going to have it inside.
The other one's a little smaller.
Actually, he's just going to put a piece of paper over the front of this one and write Dell. It just says New Dell.
New Dell.
No, it's not even a... I didn't get
it. I don't know what kind
I'll put
is.
The I at the end of it. New Dell.
New Delhi.
I do... I feel like I need to ask a question.
Pineapples.
Because this is...
Pineapples.
Is that... I think it might be the show word. That's the word that we didn't make the catch.
That's like in Pee Wee Herman, it's the word of the day.
However, the other coach, as soon as he said pineapple, they start laughing.
Yeah, they find it very funny.
Yeah.
I'll show you the video.
The word pineapple finds it really funny.
I'll show you the video later.
But play it online.
No.
I could tell by the way he was laughing. He couldn't play that.
You got a hi, Sean.
So
I said hello to Barbara already.
Tom is the guy who couldn't push the button on the iPhone. So I feel like the question about the laptop was, it died, quote unquote, died.
I don't think he charged it.
I have a feeling Mary.
I think died was the wrong word.
I feel like 3 days later when it came back, he realized it wasn't plugged in.
It wasn't three days later.
I have a feeling Mary's going to be setting up a computer in the office tomorrow.
I mean, but the interesting part is that 3 days later is what we're supposed to be spreading out there. Right, a lot of people call that the Great Commission.
Wow,
I gave you that like 5 minutes ago. Just
is that what the layup was,
bro?
Oh, so I did miss it.
Yeah, that's
why I said you missed it completely.
That was a great layup. I just got it now. Is that what you brought back?
I didn't realize that's what they were doing. To be honest,
I quit.
Pineapples. It's pineapples. That's the safe word for the night.
I thought we were just going to do a show next week on today's topic.
Just wait and do it next week?
I didn't think we were going to get to it.
I was trying. I tried to switch it over quick, but
Tom
didn't pick up what I was laying down. So
yeah.
I thought the cocaine bear would be a good transition.
Oh, no.
No, that's why I was trying to transition. That was.
I thought he could go straight from cocaine bear into the Great Commission without a beat.
That would have been amazing.
Well, since we're bringing up numbers, I do want to talk about certain numbers before we even get into the scripture tonight, because I found these numbers to be crazy to me, right? 51% of churchgoers, all right, 51% of churchgoers do not know about the Great Commission. So that's more than half the people that literally attend church do not know about the Great Commission. Now, let's talk about the 49%, right? 6% say, I'm not sure. 25% say, I think so, but I can't remember. And only 17 of people knew what the Great Commission was.
Did you question these people, or did you find this somewhere?
Did you just get this information on Sunday morning? Did you like pull the church before service?
No, I found the survey somewhere.
Cool.
Yeah. No,
that's incredible.
Only
51% know
about it. Only 51% didn't even know what the Great Commission was. They had no idea. They had no idea what the Great Commission was. I'm not going to mention any names, but Crystal, this past Sunday, phenomenal sermon.
Yeah, it was really
phenomenal sermon. Which was about the Great Commission, if you think about it. Had somebody
and also
from our church go up to her and ask her, Crystal, is the Great Commission a Nazarene thing or a biblical thing? Right? Wow. And that's what really prompted me to do the research on well, how many people actually do know what the Great Commission is, right? So it's actually twice in the Bible. It's in the book of Matthew and it's in the book of Mark. But the book of Matthew goes into a little more detail on it, right? And it really starts on 18, telling you about what the Great Commission is. But I'm going to go two verses before that, just to read a little intro. So we are on Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Thomas. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority. Now, given all authority is so important because he's been given all the authority from the Father, from God, all the authority, right, in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of age, right? And he says that because we now have the Holy Spirit with us till the end of age. But it's so important because the Great Commission, although Jesus talks about it in the New Testament, it really goes all the way back into the Old Testament. It's something that's been through the Old Testament the whole time into the New Testament, right? And he even goes ahead and says, what is the greatest command? His disciples ask him, what is the greatest commandment of them all? Right? And he answers them with love your God with all your mind, your heart, and your soul. But equally as important is love your neighbor, right? So you might ask, well, loving your neighbor, how does that relate to the Great Commission, right? So it's kind of like when we talk here about a great game that we saw, right? Or a great movie that we saw. We want to tell everybody about that game or about that movie. We're like, oh my goodness, I saw this great game. It was so good. It was so great. I got to tell you about it, right? This is where the Great Commission comes. This is the greatest news ever, right? And he says, go out and make disciples. Well, what are disciples? Disciples, another definition for disciple is a learner, someone who learns, right? So basically, he's telling you, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, right? So just going to church alone, it's not what he's asking you. He's not saying be a churchgoer. What he's saying is obey those commands. Live the commands that I have given you. Right, a verse that I like to reference is Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? So the Great Commission is telling him these commandments, telling him what Jesus has done for you. And through that, it's not just, you know, if they're obeying the commandment, there's literally a transformation that occurs in someone. A change, a complete change. They become a new person. We had a baptism show, and we talked about what the definition of baptism is. And it was a pretty long show, and there was a lot of different aspects of it, which were all true, right? But the main one that we focused on was the significance of you go down, as Christ died for us, and then you come back up as the resurrection. Laptop dies, and now it works, right? Type deal. Amen. So that's why he brings in here.
And you got to be plugged in.
You got to be plugged in into the Word. You got to be plugged in into the Word. Yes, exactly. And that's why he mentions baptism in this, and when he's describing the Great Commission. One thing I do want to say is you can get someone that says, well, the Great Commission is not in the Bible, meaning the words the Great Commission is not in the Bible, right?
It's not. I mean, it is, because it'd be in front of, it's not actual words of the Bible, but those words would be found in the Bible.
Right.
You know, like at the top of the paragraph, it would say the Great Commission.
Yeah.
So yeah. Technically, yes, it's in the Bible, yeah, but no, yeah, Jesus didn't say, this is the Great Commission.
That's true, and I didn't think of that. So I went ahead and I did a little research on that. I just want to read something really short, and then I'm going to open it up with some questions to the guys. Von Wells proposed a missionary organization called the Jesus Loving Society to spread Protestant Christianity throughout the world. It is thought that the term Great Commission, or certainly the basic concept, was central to Von Wells' argument for bringing Christianity to foreign lands. Two centuries later, the evangelist Hudson Taylor is believed to have used the idea of the Great Commission to justify Christian missionary efforts, particularly the China Inland Mission that he founded in 1866. Taylor's mission attempted to bring Christianity to China's inland province, which was dangerous work, and 79 China Inland missionaries were killed later in what is referred to as Boxer Rebellion. Mm-hmm. Hudson is often cited by Protestant missionaries in the quote, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but it is a command to be obeyed."
Wow.
There does not appear to actual evidence, however, that he actually spoke these words, right? So the Great Commission, you know, it's something that Jesus told his disciples to spread this, and it literally cost his disciples' lives, mm-hmm. right? And as you go through the history of Christianity, it happens to a lot of missionaries as well. But so how do you spread it? Through evangelism. And I thought the focus of today could be how to spread it, you know, what does that look like ministry-wise? There's also street evangelism versus relational evangelism. And that simply means, well, how would you talk to a stranger with the Great Commission as opposed to a family member? Because there's two different ways that you approach those things.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah, please.
That number is still astounding to me. I'm kind of a numbers person, but the fact that, so it's 51% of church goers, right? Is that what it was? Church
51% of
Christians or
churchgoers? Churchgoers. Now, churchgoers is not necessarily church members. Churchgoers are when you invite friends as well.
Okay.
You know, so that's in there as well.
I guess that makes up for some of the, but it's 51% don't know about it or do. Either way, it's
51% of do not know about the Great Commission.
Which means two things to me is, okay, so maybe it's just people who go occasionally. You know, you can explain some of the numbers that way, but they're not reading the gospel, and nobody's teaching them the gospel. What is that saying about the church?
They're not.
I mean, what are we doing in the church other than being a social club? If people now, I guess, is that evangelicals or is it just churchgoers? Because that could it be Catholic and everything too, or is that like just because it's just astounding to me that we're not teaching the Great Commission in church, and the people aren't reading the gospel who go to church. So that's the first part of it.
Let me just interject for a moment. It's interesting you say that because I talked about the Great Command, the Great Commitment. The Great Commitment that they speak about is love your God with all your heart and also love thy neighbor, right? So the Great Commitment to the Great Commandment with the Great Commission is what makes a great church. So to your point, yeah, we're not as a church doing our job.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, if that's what Jesus appeared, and I mean, he seemed that it was appropriate in the moment of his revelation to the disciples to say, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teach them my commands, and we don't find that important enough to talk about in church. isn't saying a whole lot about American evangelicalism. But recently I was reminded actually with talking to one of your heroes, and is Kerry Willis, reminded me, I heard him say this before, but I'd kind of forgotten about it, is he said, and he was quoting somebody else, you know, he wasn't stealing this idea or the quote, but it's what he lives by, is saying, I don't care about giving a homeless person a meal. I don't want to clothe somebody. I don't want to help somebody with a need. I don't want to give somebody a material good or whatever who needs it, unless I can also give them Jesus. Unless I can also share the gospel with them. I'm not interested in doing good works if I can't combine that with sharing the gospel, because it's useless, right? So, I mean, to me, though, it's like, it doesn't have to be some, ooh, my palms are sweaty and I'm shaking and I know I need to say something to this person and I'm scared, whatever. Just live. Live your life as Christ. You'll share them automatically by living that way. And then as soon as you have an opportunity to share, just do it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, because Pastor Matthew, I want to talk about that in 2 seconds, because I was going to get to
that.
That's
kind of actually where my whole focus was tonight.
But the you know, it's interesting you say that about the homeless person. So my wife, I was sanctified. My sanctification experience happened before my wife's sanctification experience. Her sanctification experience happened right after we had a serious thing happen in our family. Our niece overdosed. And my wife had to administer
CPR.
No,
Narcan.
Oh. Narcan, right? And the Lord told my wife before she did the Narcan, he said to her, "Hey Claire, what good is giving this person Narcan if you're not sharing the gospel with her?" And it put it into perspective for her, right? Kind of like the same Pastor Kerry Willis thing. All right, yeah, let me give you money, let me clothe you. But what good is that? Yeah, we're showing love, right? But what good is that if you're not sharing the gospel with them, if you're not showing them the Great Commission, right? And a lot of times you can share the gospel without even quoting anything from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just by the hello, by the love, by what you're saying to them, by loving them. Right. But as far as the church, Pastor Matthew, that's exactly correct. It's that attractional. A lot of these people, the churchgoers, get, you know, I went to Pastor Matthew's church this past weekend and praying for you, brother, praying for everything that's going on in that church. But you're right. Yeah. So people are always looking for the attractions in a church.
Yeah. I go for what I can get out of it.
Yeah. You know, and us as a church, are we trying to put all the bells and whistles so we can get people, or that's what Crystal said on her thing. It's not about the numbers at all. It's not about us. It's about sharing the love of God. It's not about the numbers of people in the church. It's about being present in the community.
Well, real quick, last night was a serious night, like at basketball for me, and when I see all those guys come in and we talk, and like Tom knows that there's some of them that are so guarded with their personal lives that wouldn't, you know, say a peep about anything personal, that now like reach out to us and talk to us and confide in us. And just last night, there was a new person there. Like I stopped, you know, at 7 like I usually do. Daryl said a prayer. But one of the things we always tell them is, like, you're not in here so we can try and force you to come to service. We would like for you to come to service. We would like for you to see what we're about. But part of what we're about is taking place right here in this gym. You know what I mean? So one of the new guys that was there yesterday, he was just sitting there. He was just, like, looking around. And I was like, you know, thanks for coming. I was like, because I had a little blow up moment, because we all get competitive and we all get passionate about playing sports. And I had to let them know, like, I kind of had to lay down the law. And when I talked to this guy afterwards, I said, listen, man, this places for the community. This is here for you guys. I said, I right now want to go home and just sit with my kids. I just want to be with my kids. But every Monday I get here, I see more and more how much is necessary for you guys to be here. And that's why I'm here. I said, I could go home and sit on the couch and just hang out with my kids. And they would enjoy that. Elijah, maybe not so much because he's always kicking me out of rooms. Like the other night he had his phone saying, can you get out? Get out. Get out. But, you know what I mean? I'd much rather, you know, sometimes I'd rather be with the kids and just at home. But I see how some of these guys need somebody there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's part of my purpose. And I think that's my,
that's awesome, dude.
You know, my mission work.
I shared Jesus over a poop pot this week. Over a thousand gallons of poop. Shared Jesus right there.
You mean a poo-poo platter?
It was more than a platter, my friend. Okay. The septic guy came to clean out the septic tank at the shop. And I'm sitting there, and he's sucking out the poop. And he brought up something that I was like, I can talk to him about Jesus about this. And I did. And you know what? It's not any fantastic moment. You know, it's just, hey, this is this.
We're just planting that seed. That's all really we're called to. It's just to plant the seed, right? Jesus is the one that'll perform the cultivation to that seed. He's the one that performs the miracle for that seed to sprout, right? We're just supposed to plant it and water it. How do we water it? By loving them, by praying for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
keeping your ears open, keeping your eyes open.
It's for you. The beautiful story about the basketball thing is that, you know, Pastor Kerry always says presence matters most, right? So those guys leave there saying, talk about the pit of despair.
I was telling Dave to look at
it. Oh, yeah.
Talk about the poop.
That is a pit of despair.
They look at you and they say, man, there's something special with that guy that he's sacrificing personal stuff to spend this time with us, to invest time with us, to be present with us, right? And that's the thing, man. That's why community is so important. Getting out of these walls and going out is so important, right? As the body of Christ is something that we have to get better at, and that's where evangelism comes in, right? And I'm actually, as far as evangelizing to a perfect stranger, we kind of touched on it a little bit. It starts with a hello, you know, an acknowledgement that they're there.
Yeah. What did Crystal say on Sunday? What do you say to somebody who really needs whatever, you know, really needs Jesus? Hi.
Hi.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be. And the other thing too, that I always talk about because it matters a lot to me, is just genuine people. If you're being genuine to who you are and who you're called to be and who Christ made you to be, people will automatically notice that there's something different about you. If you're living like the world lives, they're not going to notice a bit of difference about you. But when they notice a difference and they ask you about it, you can say, here's why. So did you want to get into like street evangelism?
Did you have something, Joel?
I mean, for me, that those numbers that you just read are just alarming and sad.
Yeah.
Part of what I want to talk about, and I won't get into it, I had a lot of stuff I want to say, but I don't want to, you guys covered a lot of it, but in the Great Commission, it says go forth, not come sit. Not come sit and wait. Like, don't go build a building and wait for people to come to you. Like, I've never seen that once in the Bible. Sit and wait in a building on a Sunday morning and wait for somebody to come to you. I'm not saying that fellowship isn't important. It's absolutely 100% important. But there is nowhere that says, come sit and wait. This is go forth and tell. Therefore, that's what evangelism is.
Therefore,
go. Go. Just go. And like you said, like, there, I want to add a number that wasn't in your stats. Well over a billion people have never or will never hear about the gospel or Jesus Christ in their lifetime. Right now, there are well over a billion people that have never or will never hear about Jesus Christ or the gospel in their lifetime. To me, that's another sad number. Because that means that 6.8 billion people who have heard about Jesus Christ and the gospel have not told those other 1 billion people. Mm. How is that possible? How is it that not every person, whether they want to believe or not, whether they want to follow or not, how have they not heard? If we're doing our job, if we're doing what Christ has asked for, if we're doing what's in our heart, being guided by the Spirit, how has not every single person in the world know the name of Jesus Christ, know what the Bible is, know the Word of God? Again, not that they all are going to believe and not that they're all going to accept, but how do they not know? And to me, that's a startling number. 51% of people sitting in the pews don't know what they're supposed to be doing, don't know that they're supposed to be sharing. We, and I mean this as Christian leaders, all not just us here in this building, across the globe are failing our people. We are failing. And why are we failing? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I wish I did. I mean, I think some of us do it well. I think some people don't do it. I've seen a lot of people do it a lot better than what we do. It's startling to me that we are failing so terribly as Christians. Jesus is not asking us to go die in the streets in his name. What if I had to? I would. But he's not asking us to. He's just asking us to talk to people, to love people. How hard is that? Like you said, Crystal, say hello. How hard is that? I felt really convicted this week. I'll be honest, like 6 times. I had people say to me this week.
It's probably 7.
Probably. It could have been 10. I don't know. But it was enough for me to notice. You know, it wasn't like somebody just said something and they're like, they just met me and didn't know. I have people that I work with now. I work a part-time job. I've been there for 3-4 months now that said, oh, you're a pastor? That's never come up in conversation with these folks. That's my fault. That's 100% my fault. That is on me. The fact that they don't know and I have not presented that, or at least in the way I've been presenting myself at work, that I failed. I have failed every single one of those people as a pastor and as a Christian. And I have failed Christ. I have failed the Lord because I should never get that question. Maybe not the pastor thing. Maybe I'm taking it too, but to not even realize that I was a Christian, that's a problem. Maybe not everybody would know that I'm a pastor because, you know, that's not what I do for a full-time gig. But the fact that I've been in a place for that long and it's coming up as a question that I might not be, that hit me this week really hard. That's something I've had to struggle with. That's something I've had to go back to the drawing board on.
I think if you're saying that you're convicted, then, you know, maybe there is something worthy of conviction. But I think also just it doesn't have to be the first thing out of your mouth. You are saying it and you are bringing it up. So, I mean, I'll let you off the hook a little bit, you know, let yourself off the hook a little bit for that because it is coming up at some point. But the other thing, too, is like how many times are you at Wawa, right? And somebody's like, oh, these gas prices are so high. And then somebody interjects and goes, well, if we didn't elect that so-and-so. Like, think about how many times people bring up politicians in a conversation that wasn't about politics. Like, it's all the time people are interjecting their personal feelings and their angers and their whatever into conversations that weren't about that. You know, you could be talking about how blue the sky is and somebody's like, oh, well, it's global warming. And, you know, what? Like, just think about if you, instead of making it negative, you just went, it's a beautiful day outside. I'm really glad I got Jesus in my heart and the sun's shining out in the world. You know, like just that sort of thing. Like, if you can bring up the most random crap in conversations, you can't bring up God.
But what's funny about this is so funny because I know this to be a fact. I've heard, God bless you, have a blessed one, more at Wawa than I've heard negative conversations. And that's just simply me holding the door for somebody. Oh, God bless you. Or just in passing, or me holding the door, just, oh, have a blessed one. You go ahead in front of me. You blah, blah, blah. I very seldomly hear negative conversations.
You hang out in Sheetz a lot?
No.
Sheetz is, it gets pretty nasty at Sheetz.
Not Sheetz. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, at Wawa, like, early mornings, you expect people to be like, I need my coffee, get out of my way. Like, they're just pleasant. Maybe I'm up too early. I don't know.
Could be.
Well, you said you opened the door. That's changing the game. Like, you didn't slam the door in their face, or you didn't wait for them to answer the door.
So you should try slamming their door.
Yeah, maybe try it and see what kind of reaction you get.
No, I'm good.
We're standing there and wait for them to open the door.
I will be who I know the Lord made me to be.
But the thing, you're following where you're being led to fall. So you're seeing and hearing that thing. But I see what Dave, like,
no, I can see what you're saying.
How often do you see those stickers?
Exactly.
On the pump.
Yeah.
Like,
and the sad thing is, even
which one? The 422 socks stickers?
No, the
I did that.
The I love Joe Biden stickers.
I wasn't gonna go that far.
But think about how many times. Like, here's a. We'll never be able to quantify the statistic, but I wonder how many times Christians talk about politics in a conversation versus how many times they talk about Jesus in a conversation. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, it all comes down to they'll know you're Christians by your love, by your fruits, right? And the interesting part about your story is that, you know, it's never too late. So apparently your fruits are coming out now that people are questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what I was trying to say.
So what I would even take it a step further and say the conviction might have happened before you even knew it. Because if they're questioning now, then your fruits are coming out now. Your fruits had to come out for them to question it.
Yeah, it was more the conviction. Like now they're noticing because, you know, I'm talking about. But that was the fact that it hit me that I was around these people for that long. And you guys aren't with me during that. So some of the conversations that happen, there should have been times where I had led that in with it. They should have known that sooner. And for me, it was just an eye-opening thing. It's not that I wasn't trying. But it was one of those things. I'm just going in and I'm putting my time in and I'm just getting through the day. And I'm not realizing those are opportunities.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm convicted was for not taking the opportunity. Yeah, I should have went a little more into that.
Yeah, opportunities don't just happen on your day off. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm saying, we know that over a billion people have never heard. Some of these people are those billion people, and I did not do what I was set forth to do. In those moments, that they're now that I'm being more conscious about it, now that I'm being more paying attention. But how often do we do that? How often do we forget to just make the simple comments? How often do we try and help people, guide them in the right direction? I think that's where everything gets lost. Like a billion people would know if we would just open our mouths. Like you said, we're willing to open and talk about our politics. We're willing to talk about our favorite football team. We're willing to talk about the football team we hate. We're willing to talk about recipes and whatever else. But when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the good book, when it comes to God, how often do we back pocket that conversation?
Yep.
And that, I mean, to me, that's because we're talking about evangelism. Evangelism doesn't, you don't have to go out and stand on a street corner with a microphone and stand on a milk crate and start screaming out the Bible.
But you should.
But you should. Absolutely. Everybody should. Everybody, me personally?
Yeah.
All right. Me and Tom will go out next weekend.
Not my corner.
But evangelism can happen in the small moments, small conversations, just little tiny moments. Like, you know, Tom and I talk all the time. It doesn't have to be the water to wine miracle. It's the small things. That's where the battle's won.
Yeah.
The battle against evil is won in the small conversations. It's won in the small moments. And I think as Christians, we need to look more into, if we want to evangelize, we need to work towards the small moments, work Christ into those small moments, show Christ in those small moments.
Yep.
And I think that, for me, that's part of where the things get lost. And then when your eyes are open to it, when you see it and you realize you've been missing it, it's just important. It was something that caught me because we were talking about that this week. And then it was like, man, you know, God kind of revealed that to me, like, okay, you're going to talk about it. Let's be honest. Let's be real about it. Have you been doing? You're going to go tell people how to do it, but have you actually been doing it?
Yeah. A lot of times the gospel, the Great Commission comes out on when something bad is happening in your life because the outsiders are looking at you to see how you respond to that, you know? And like if you're at work and something bad happens, but yet you still have that same smile, like as in you just got a raise, people are like, man, how are you smiling right now when such and such thing happened? Let me tell you why I'm still smiling. Because I know the big picture, right? And I know we're running out of time, but so I'm going to go through this really quickly. My friend is doing an evangelism class at his house. And he did a biblical framework for evangelism. And I'm just going to run through this real quick. Like when you're in the streets, right, and you're saying hi to someone, a lot of people think that if they are good, then they're fine, right? But a lot of times we have to make them understand that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory, right? We're all sinners. We're all bad. You know, wages of sin is death, right? So by the grace of God, we're not dead, right? So a lot of the questions that street evangelists will be like, hey, have you ever lied, right? Well, doesn't that make you a liar, right? Have you ever stole something? Have you ever murdered? No, I never killed anybody. But have you ever been angry? Because if you look at the Sermon on the Mountain, you know, just being angry at somebody is just as bad as murdering them, right? So they have to understand that they're living a wrong life, that something is wrong with them, right? So none are good, right? And we're all saved by grace. If it wasn't for grace, we did, you know, and by faith. So saved by grace through faith is what we're here for, right? And how do you get that faith? Through hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Right? So then that's when you start explaining that. And right, hearing the word of God goes right into the Great Commission. What does the word of God say? Right? Well, this is what it's saying. Love thy neighbor. And the Great Commission. And God gives us that growth. He's always with us there. And a lot of times we go out and we say something and we think we messed it up. Oh, man. I should have told them this. I should have said that. But in reality, we told them exactly what God wanted you to tell them. Because if you go with the right posture with the right posture in your heart for the right reasons, you can't say anything wrong. Because all you're doing is planting that seed, right? So you might say something and be like, oh, man, I should have told them this and should have told them that. No, you shouldn't have. You said just the right amount of things that God wanted you to say. So a lot of times we beat ourselves over, oh, man, I'm not doing it right. I'm not. But you are. But you are. As long as you're leading with your heart and for the right reasons for God and just spreading that love and showing that person that you love them, you're doing it the right way. Because all you're doing is planting a seed. You know? And that's where I think the whole confusion comes, where people are so scared. I remember when my wife Claire and I first got married, she was like, man, I wish I was as bold as you. I wish I was bold. And I'm like, you don't have to be bold.
Yeah.
To spread the gospel, right? You don't have to be standing on a box and saying, repent, because you're not supposed to spread the gospel by making someone feel like they have to do it or they're going to go to hell. No, it's a relationship, right? You can't put a gun to someone and say, marry me, or I'm going to shoot you, right? It's the same thing with God. You can't do that? No, is that what you did with Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh.
She said she was happy.
Oh. I'm sorry. Bad example.
Yeah.
Bad example.
Yeah, don't. She wasn't listening anyway.
You know? But, you know, as long as we are leading with love, and who's love? God. We love because he first loved us, right? It's all these verses just come together, and it all surrounds the Great Commission. So, you know, in closing, I just want to say that, just like Crystal said and just like we said it, just a simple, hey, hi, how you doing? And then you might leave and not say another word, and that person will be like, man, that guy was different. Why did he say hi to me? You know? And you planted that seed because then the next person comes and starts watering that seed. And they're like, you know, someone else came to me and they reminded me a lot of the way you are. And then that person might be like, well, I'm this way because... And it's that simple. All right, I'm done. I've been talking a lot. I can literally go on this topic forever. I actually have a lot of more notes that I didn't get to.
You're going
to
use this for a sermon, right?
I think so. Although, I mean, it's
a lot of research.
Here's the cool thing about it. I don't know if Pastor Matthew's still on or not, but the cool thing about it is Crystal's sermon that was preached at the Roysford Church of the... And they didn't know. They had no idea. Crystal's sermon that was preached at the Roysford Church of the Nazarene was the exact same sermon that my wife preached at Twin Hills Church of the Nazarene. On the Great Commission. And when my wife found out about, because we listened to Crystal's sermon on the way home because it's a 3-hour ride, and she was like, What? And I'm like, this is exactly what you just preached about. Like, they literally preached the same sermon to two different Nazarene churches. The Great Commission.
You should let Claire do the same sermon, her sermon next week.
Well, Pastor Carey's going to be here next week.
That's right.
Yeah. But
see if people are paying attention.
Yeah.
All right, I'm out.
I'm out.
That's it.
I'll close. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to close. That is my job. I apologize.
Why don't you just lead us in a rendition of Fly, Eagles, Fly?
We could do that.
Yeah, here's your starting note.
Pineapples.
No. Stop.
Tapping out.
Listen. Happy to be back.
Yeah, me too.
So much fun. especially when I got Sean sitting to the left of me.
Making popcorn.
These inside jokes are the best because these guys know nothing about them. But thanks for tuning in. If you're watching, thanks for watching. Please share this stream. If you want to listen in, you can listen in on YouTube and watch us on YouTube, Podcast Addict, Spotify, Apple, all the streaming platforms. Thank you very much, and can't wait to get back next week so we can evangelize.
Amen. Father God, just to thank you for this opportunity to come back together again and just do what you've called us to do, Lord. We're just so grateful to be in this room together. We're grateful to have this time together. We're grateful to have this friendship and this love and this brotherhood that we can just come and be together and do what you've called us to do, Lord. This week we want to pray for Betty, Lord. You know what's going on. Please be with her. Be with everything that's going on, Lord. Continue to lay your healing hands upon her. Lord, just be with her that. Lord, for our district interviews that are going to be happening here in the next week or week and a half or so. Lord, be with those folks. Open up their ears and their eyes and let them know where you have them going. And be with those interviewers that have to ask the questions and help them figure out where they need to be, Lord. It's not an easy calling to fill. And sometimes you need guidance. And so allow the interviewers and the interviewees to be open to where you're leading, and if there's anything that needs to be said or done or fixed, make everybody aware of that. Make everybody okay with that, Lord, so we can move forward for you. For Randy and his family, everything that's going on there, Lord, you know the situation. You know what's going on. Lord, they need you to step in and handle that situation. Help out in any way you can, Lord. We know you can. We know you love them all. So just help, Lord, as you can. For Donna and her family, as they go through this difficult time, Lord.
Yes, Father.
You know where it is. You know their hearts. You know their minds. You know their thoughts. You know exactly what's going on, Lord. So help ease that. Help put some calmness into that situation. Give a sense of peace and joy in remembrance, Lord. So help be with them through all of that. Lord, revival.
Mm.
Revive us, Lord. If not everybody else that hears this or is listening right now watching, for me, even just for me, for the guys in this room, Lord, revival, revive your people across this nation, across this globe, Lord. Yes. Some days I think that when things aren't looking good, everybody seems to forget who you are. And what you are capable of. When things are good, we all know who you are, Lord. You're our man. You're our dog. You're with us. You're right there. And when things start looking down, we forget to call your number. You don't walk away, but we do. And Lord, it's our human nature. We forget you in the hard times, and Lord, we are so sorry for that. But Lord, set a fire. Please set a fire of revival. There are over 1 billion people who don't even know who you are. Jesus. Let us find those people. Give us the words to open their ears. Let us do the things that you need us to do to open their eyes. Lord, there is no greater gift you have given to this world than love.
Yes, Lord.
You loved us so much. You gave your only son. You allowed him to be one of us. You allowed him to suffer the slings and arrows of life, the trials, the tribulations, the and much more than he ever deserved. Mm-hmm. But you've taken that from us. We deserve all that and more that Jesus got. But you're not giving us that. You're giving us an opportunity to be with you in heaven for eternity.
Thank you, Jesus.
So let us just be grateful. Let us be thankful.
Yeah.
Light our hearts on fire.
Yes, Father.
For you.
Yes, Lord.
Let there be nothing that comes out of our mouths that doesn't honor and respect you in every single way.
Amen.
Don't let any actions that we perform put dishonor and distrust on your name. Father, on our own, there is not a thing that we can do. But when you are standing by our side and you are filling our hearts and our minds, there is absolutely nothing we can't accomplish. That's right. So, Lord, let everything that we do be for your glory, for your honor, and for your love. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 And that has been episode 122 of The Prodigal Sons. Now enjoy these gentle musings and instrumental lullabies of Tracks on Tracks Productions. Love you guys. See you next week.
Love you.